We are going to just spend a few minutes talking about praying through the scriptures. I've had lots of ladies ask me about that. And so this is just going to be a real practical, hands-on, giving you some ideas about, because, you know, so many times we get intimidated by prayer, and we look at prayer, and it's like, ooh, I don't know how to pray, and is my prayers, are they getting through to God? Does he even hear what I'm saying? And so I think it's so important that we have to be careful, and Stephen even mentioned this when he was talking earlier about some of the books or something. We have heard much from God's word these few days together. And we need to be careful of the danger of not just having knowledge and doing nothing with it. We can't just sit here like a sponge and soak it all in and then not deal with the things that God speaks to us about and the information that we have. And so we're just going to take some time just to look at some ideas of how to pray through the scriptures. And just to give you some hints, some helps maybe that will help you there. And, you know, people say all the time, well, you know, I'm busy, I don't have time, that kind of thing. But, you know, praying through the scriptures is very important because the two lifelines that we have in our Christian walk is the Word of God and then prayer, talking to Him. And so if we neglect those two things, or either one of those things, then we suffer greatly. Our Christian walk suffers. And so, you know, when you're sick, you make an appointment, you go to the doctor. And so you allow time for getting to the appointment, getting ready, you know, waiting. Now it's waiting out in the car and they call you, you know, and say, come on in, all that kind of stuff. And so maybe we as ladies need to make an appointment with God. And I'm talking about, when I talk about praying through the scriptures, I'm not talking about this quick little, you know, Lord, bless, and then go off, you know, the whole list, you know, and may they have great blessings today. And because sometimes I think I hear people praying, you know, especially like in a church. I think sometimes they get in a rote thing, you know, when they're praying. Well, what are we saying when we say, well, bless this person? Well, what is that? You know, bless this person, bless this church. What are we talking about? And so it's important for us to have time for God. We need to realize the importance of prayer. I know I'm counting myself in all that too. We try to do everything on our own, and we forget about how important prayer is, and it should be. Charles Spurgeon said that true prayer is neither a mere mental exercise nor a vocal performance. It is far deeper than that. It is spiritual transaction with the Creator of heaven and earth. And so we need to ponder that, I think, and think about that just a minute, that when we are talking, when we are praying to God the Creator, the one who made the universe, who made all things. And so for us to just kind of rush in and be real flippant with our prayers, that's not a good thing. And, you know, for some of you, the sweet hour of prayer might have been the very first time that you've ever spent an entire hour in prayer. But you know what? It doesn't have to be the last time. You can take this away and you can spend time with God, and you should, and we need to. I was shocked one time at one of these prayer advances, and a pastor came up and said, you know, that's the first time I think that I've ever spent an hour in prayer. And I thought, ooh, an hour in prayer. You know, and sometimes we think, well, an hour, that's a long time. But you know what? Whenever you start praying, it can go by so quickly. And I know that we are all in different seasons of life. I mean, some of you have young children. Some of you work a job. And you just have many responsibilities. I know that. And so you are not afforded the luxury of having a sweet hour of prayer maybe every day. Now, for me, I'm at a place in my life where I can, because I don't have children. And even when we travel, the mornings lots of times are very open for me. And so I realize that I'm blessed and that it's special. But even if you don't have that hour, you can still incorporate all these ideas of praying through the scriptures. I was listening to a pastor, I don't know, a year or so ago, and he said that he had a pastor friend. And this pastor spent a whole year preaching on prayer, 52 weeks he spent on preaching and prayer. But you know what he said? He said at the end of that 52 weeks, the end of that year, I felt like I had done a disservice to my people because I had loaded them down with all this information and I had never given them time to implement it. And that's why I love the protocols and just the little prayer times that we do here, is because Harold will get up and he'll speak on the protocol and then we just go right into it and we pray on it for a few minutes. And you know, we've started doing that in lots of churches where we'll go, he's got one message where he goes over, I think, about five of the different protocols. And you cannot imagine how the people respond to that. And it's so different for them and that they enjoy it so much. And so it's just a wonderful thing. One lady, I don't even know where she is now, but anyway, she came up to me this morning and she said that she had two siblings at Christmas who sent her Christmas gifts. And both of them, guess what, was the prayer protocols books. And I said, well, where did they get it? And she said, well, I'm not real sure. She said her one sister, I think, lived in Massachusetts, and the other one lived in Virginia Beach or something. And they both somehow got a hold of that prayer protocol, sent it to her, and then she shared it with somebody else. And then, anyway, whoever she shared it with said, hey, why don't we just go to that conference where Harold Vaughn has on prayer? And so she's here, wherever you are. You know, so you never know that how God wants to use these things, but he does want us to pray. And there's many types of prayer. Like there's a spontaneous prayer that sometimes will just burst up from your heart, and you know that you need to be praying about something, and you cry out to God. And then there's our corporate prayers, where we pray for specific needs in our church and get together in groups. And then, you know, we have prayer lists. I'm a prayer list person. Harold hates prayer lists. For me, it keeps me focused and on track in what I need to do. And it's just, it's an important part of my prayer time. And I heard one lady said that she has make mention prayers, where she said some days she's just real busy, and this particular lady was a godly lady, and her prayer list was, whoa, pages and pages. But she said that sometimes that she just went through and she said, Lord, you know what each of these people are going through today, and I'm just going to make mention of their names. And that's what she would do sometimes, just name them off to God and let him. And then the other thing is praying through the scripture. And that's what I want to spend the rest of the time talking about. George Mueller, whom we've all heard of, was such a great man of prayer. And he was one who prayed the scriptures. He said, though, that the first 10 years of his life of faith, he struggled in prayer, even though he spent hours in prayer each day, and he saw many answers to prayer. But it was such a struggle for him, he said. And then, he said, he began to pray scripture back to God, and he was transformed as well as his prayer life. And then another friend of mine who does a lot, she has a little blog email type thing, and at the end of this, they'll flash them up on the screen. Just some resources that you might be interested in to help you along this. Her name's Jennifer Clark, and she said, prayer takes our burdens to God. Belief compels us to leave them there. See, that's a wonderful thing. Prayer, we take our burdens to God, and then belief leaves them there. It was kind of like, now I can't remember, I think it was Denise this morning that mentioned, you know, whenever we pray about things and then the next 15 minutes after you do, that shows whether you really believed what you prayed or not, and leaving it there. Belief that God is able and true to his word is what belief is. And if we're praying God's word, then we can be assured that God will hear and answer. God's word is truth. God cannot lie. So we need to search the scripture, find his promises, and pray them back. When we can take our burdens to the Lord and leave them there, then that's a wonderful part of praying. And when we pray the scripture, we can pray with expectancy because we know, like I said before, God does not lie. His word is true. And you know, so many people today, one of the key things is that people really don't believe God. And you know, when it comes down to things, when we are faced with struggles and troubles and trials and have things going on in our life, we are going to either have to believe what God says or not. So do you believe God? And if you believe him, then you can pray the scriptures to him, knowing that he is going to take care of everything. We can pray with, as Harold says, with exclamation points and not question marks. And some people say, well, you know, people say, I prayed and prayed and prayed, and God didn't answer my prayer, so I'm not going to pray anymore. But you know what? God does answer our prayers. And it's just sometimes we are not, as Ron said, dead to self. And so we are wanting what we had planned out and not what God has planned out. And no is an answer. And so we can't fall back on that and say, no, God didn't answer my prayer, because he does. So I'm going to give you just four steps here, first of all, for praying through the scriptures. Number one is to read the scripture and look up your verses in the concordance, break it down. There's a wonderful app I use. It's called Bible Hub. It's a free app. And it has like your concordance there. It'll tell you the Greek, you know, everything, the words to look through. So number one, read the scriptures, then write out the scripture, ponder the promise that God has given in that scripture, and then pray it back to God. Johnny Erickson Tata said this. She said, and I love Johnny Erickson Tata. Whenever I start feeling a little down and thinking, oh man, you know, I've got it rough, then I just think about her and her life and 50 years, over 50 years now, of being paralyzed and the life. And every time I look at her, I say, look at that woman. She is older than me and she looks like she's about 30. Her face just glows with God. But she said this about praying the scripture. She said, I've learned to season my prayers with the word of God. It's a way of talking to God in his language, speaking his dialect, using his vernacular, employing his idioms. This is not a matter simply of divine vocabulary. It's a matter of power. When we bring God's word directly into our praying, we're bringing God's power into our praying. Hebrews 4:12 declares, for the word of God is living and active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. So God's word is living. It infuses our prayer lives with his life and vitality. And so and it interjects the energy and power into our prayer that we need, speaking God's language, using the word of God in your prayer. So then you might say, well, I don't know what scriptures to pray. You're talking praying the scriptures. What exactly does that mean? So here are just some ideas for you. Number one, you can look at the attributes of God and focus on God's. Prayer is more than just asking for things. You know, so many times we just go and it's just like we're reading a shopping list and that's all it is. But prayer is more than that. So focus your prayer time on God. Go to the scripture and find verses that talk about praising him. You can look at the names of God. I love praying the names of God because you every need that we really have is met in one of God's names. Jehovah Jireh, he's our provider, the one who sees before. Jehovah Shalom, he's our peace. Jehovah Rapha, he's our healer. And just go and find look up those things in the Bible and then pray them back. If somebody's sick, God, well, for us, it's been our little hope, our little granddaughter. God, hope is sick, but you promised in your word that I will heal all these diseases. And just find verses on that and pray them back to God. another big help, and I mentioned it this morning, and I think, I don't know if they have any more left, but this little book, God's Promises. If you just look up, because it's in different topics and everything, but if you're feeling condemned, it gives you verses. And this is one. There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Well, how do I pray that back to God? Just say, read it back to him. God, you have said in your word that there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. God, you have said this, and God, I believe it, that I do not have to feel condemned. I do not have to be brought under. That if I am walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh, then there's no condemnation there for me. And it's just as simple as that. Finding a verse, whatever it is, here's one in need of peace. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. God, I need peace in my life. God, my world is falling apart. God, everything is upside down. Whatever that is, then pray it like that to God. And then it said, God, you have said, I will give you peace. And pray that to him. And so praying the scriptures is not a hard thing. I mean, it's good whenever you're studying, like I said before, to read them and to really break them down, that kind of thing, and write it out and ponder the promise. But sometimes we just don't even know what scriptures to pray. And something like this is so helpful. You can even get a Bible concordance and look up a word, you know. Look up all the verses on peace and just go through them. Faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. God, I need faith in my life. I need faith to believe that, and then whatever, just fill it all out. But just take it and kind of rewrite it in your own words. Another book to help is this Praying God's Will for My Husband. Now, this man also has Praying God's Will for My Son, for My Daughter, all these kind of things. But you know what? It's basically the same book. Instead of just saying, though, I pray for my husband, as I pray for my daughter, I pray for my son. But here again, this is divided up into different topics that you can take. And I use this every day in my prayer time. When I'm praying for Harold, when I'm praying for my boys, my grandkids, and I just go through and pick something, whatever it is they're going through. And you know, each one is different, and each one has different needs and different struggles and different things like that. But this is such a help for that. Like, here's one on fear. I pray that you, Lord, are my husband's light and his salvation. Whom shall he fear? Though an army encamp against him, his heart shall not fear. In this he will be confident. And that's Psalm 27, 1 and 3. So you can take whatever, the promise book, you can look it up yourself in the concordance, and then you can go to the Bible, because there's all kinds of prayers in the Bible, especially the New Testament. Writers would start their books out with prayers, like in Ephesians 1, 15 through 19. This is what it says. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you. And you can take that into a prayer. God, and then just list the people that you're thankful for, the ones that really mean a lot to you, and make mention of them in your prayers. And then it goes on to say that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened, that we may know what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of his glory of his inheritance are. So you can take these scriptures and pray them back to God and fit whoever you're praying for, the needs around them. Another good thing is the armor of God. That's another good one to pray. Another one is the fruit of the Spirit. And just pray through it, you know, and say, Lord, you know, I need the fruit of the Spirit in my life today. I need love in my heart. And I need goodness and mercy and faith, and increase that in my life. And just, you know, the needs that you face. And instead of, and God knows them too, but he wants you to take something like this, the scripture, and pray it back to him so that you can talk to him with his language. Another one is Philippians 1, 9 through 11. It says, in this I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in all knowledge. And so that's something to pray for someone. One of the best things for praying the scriptures is the book of Psalms. And so I want us to spend just the rest of the time just looking at one psalm, going through it, and seeing how that we just break it down and pray it back to God. And as I said, there's some resources that you can look up if you're interested in this more, that might be a help to you. And that's on the screen there. The two books that I showed you, there's another book called Praying the Bible by Donald Whitney. And you can look on Amazon and get these. The other two, they're rabbijoy.com, is just a website. And she is a homeschool mom, and she, I don't know how many children she has, but anyway, she does a lot of things on prayer. And she does other things too, according, pertaining to Christian walk and life, but she has good stuff on prayer. And then this Jennifer at Divine Encounter, that's Jennifer Clark. This is an email address, but you just go to and sign up for her email, and then she sends out emails. I get mine on Thursday every week from her. And it's just, sometimes it's just a little blog type thing that she writes, and then other times she offers all of these different prayer guides. Like right now she's got one, Praying the Scriptures for Purity. And she's got one about praying the scriptures according to the, she did one on the cross at Easter one year. And it's all stuff that you can like download. Sometimes she has little verse cards. So she's got all kinds of stuff like that that can be a help to you. And especially like if you want to do something for a ladies group or something even, that has good information there. But now if you have your Bible, if you just turn to Psalm 23, and we are going to spend just the next few minutes looking at Psalm 23 and praying Psalm 23 back to God. We're all familiar with this psalm. It's one of my very favorites. I've always loved this psalm, but it became really special to me back, when my boys, Brandon and Michael, our two oldest, were just little, and they had a little, those little golden books you used to be able to buy for your kids. Well, we had one on Psalm 23. And I would read that to them at night, but there was a time, Brandon was still probably just a couple of years old, and there was a little bit of time in our ministry there where Harold traveled a lot by himself. The boys and I stayed home because he would fly a lot. And I am not the kind of person that really likes to be by myself. I'm good during the day, but at night I kind of get a little. And so I was kind of that way whenever at this particular time. And the Lord just used this book, this little kid's book on Psalm 23. And since then, it has been such a favorite of mine. And so let's just look at it and let's pray through this together. First of all, the Lord is my shepherd. Stop. You can pray that back to God. God, I thank you that you are my shepherd, that you lead me, that you guide me. And then you can also pray, Lord, I have people in my life that you're not their shepherd. And you can name those people off. Lord, Louise is a friend that I pray for, that she would know you as her shepherd. And then just go through, and you can just kind of make this your own prayer. So the Lord is my shepherd. The next phrase said, I shall not want. Well, that says it all, doesn't it? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Lord, you said that I wouldn't want. And so, God, I have these, what I think are needs in my life. and name them off to God. Or if it's other people who have needs, who need things in their life. God, you said that I would not want. And so if these are things that I'm wanting that I shouldn't be wanting, then take away my desire. And thank you that you meet each and every need that I have. Next verse says, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. God, I am thankful that you lead me in the way that I should go. You provide for me, that you are my provider. God, I thank you that you have given me a place to live, that you have given me food to eat, that you have given me vehicles to drive. God, that you have met physical needs in my life. God, I thank you that you have met spiritual needs in my life. And you have given me peace. Because when you think of still waters, don't you think of just a peaceful place? God, my life is in turmoil right now. I don't have that peace. But I thank you that you promised that you would lead me beside the still waters. And so, God, I need you to lead me there today. I need you to give me peace, to give me the nourishment, the encouragement, whatever it is, and then just pray that back to him. He restoreth my soul. Many times we need to be restored, don't we? We need to have our spirits renewed and restored. Restore a right spirit within me, O God. Because isn't it easy to let our spirits get all kind of out of shape, out of whack, and just let things irritate us. And at the end of the day, is it really worth it to, you know, to get our spirits so out of whack and so messed up? But God, you restore my soul. Thank you for that. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. God is directing me. He's leading me in paths of righteousness. He's helping me to walk the right way, to grow spiritually. And we can look to him and know that he will lead us. He will direct us. Verse 4 says, Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You know, we all face hard times. And sometimes I think going through that valley of the shadow of death is not just losing someone, but it can just be hard times, dark times. Whenever we're going through something and we think, what am I going to do? Where can I turn? We can turn to our shepherd. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, there's enemies all around me, but God is there with me, and I can rest in him and what he has for me. I will fear no evil. So many of our lives are full of fear. We have fears. When we travel, I work with the children lots of times, and we spend each night talking about a part of prayer, and we talk about being afraid. And sometimes I think, and I ask the kids that what they're afraid of, and they'll tell me, and then I say, well, do you think grown-ups are afraid? And you would be surprised how many say, no, don't think so. But, you know, grown-ups are afraid. And I tell them, I say, but they're afraid of different things. Your parents are afraid of things like maybe losing a job or that one of you would get sick. Or there are always fears there. But God says that we don't have to fear, that we can trust in him. And like Denise said again this morning, you know, we have that fear and then we get those wrong thoughts about God and we let the fears just consume our life. And here it says that I will fear no evil. God, I thank you that I do not have to fear, that you are with me, that you are guiding me through this valley, this shadow of death, whatever it is, that I do not have to fear, for thou art with me. Thank you, God. Thank you that you are with me no matter what I face, no matter what circumstance I go through. And many times our circumstances may not change, but when we can see Jesus, then our attitude and our outlook changes. And that makes all the difference in the world, is when we see Jesus in the midst of everything that we're going through. It says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And we know that the rod and staff were things that the shepherd used to protect his sheep. If the enemy came, then, you know, he would take the rod and chase them away. The staff was like usually a crooked thing that he would use, that he could use to pull them back, those sheep that were straying. God, I thank you that your rod and staff is there for me, that you protect me no matter what I'm going through. Your staff is there to grab hold of me and pull me back when I start to stray off the path. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. God, you have blessed me so much. Thank you that my cup does run over and that I have blessings beyond number. And then just start praying through those blessings that God has given you, the things that he has blessed you with. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God, I thank you that your goodness and mercy is there for me each and every day, that you have shown great mercy and you have shown goodness to me. God is good, and whenever we stop believing that, stop thinking that, then life does become hard. But if we can just remember that God's goodness, God's mercy is with us all the time, that he is going with us no matter what. And so I hope that this would be just a little bit of help to you in your prayer time, because, again, we desperately need to be women of prayer. Especially in the world that we live today, we just need to cry out to God, to believe him, to do great and mighty things. And when we pray his word back to him, and like I said, Psalms is a wonderful book. You can pick any of the Psalms, you know, and go through and just pray them back to God. And ladies, spend time with God each day in prayer. And you know, it's not like you have to go and spend an hour reading your Bible or whatever, because some of you, your schedules just will not allow that. But, you know, you can read a couple of verses and ponder them in your heart the entire day. And I think that's so important, that we don't just read through our Bible to say, whoop, done that, check that one off today, you know, I've got that done. No, that we read it to get something out of it, to something that speaks to us. God, what is it you're trying to say to me today from this portion of Scripture? And then think about it the rest of the day. I have a little whiteboard, just a little one on the end of my cabinet in my kitchen. And on it, it says, today I'm thankful for. And then I try to list at least four things that day that I'm thankful for. And at the bottom, then a verse that God spoke to me from my quiet time. I write that there as well. And it gives us something that we can just kind of look back through the day, we can think upon. And it's so important what we think on, that our minds are not filled with thoughts of whatever. And it's easy to let things creep in into our lives. But again, let's choose to be women of prayer, that we spend our time wisely. Even like driving down the road, we can be praying things back to God and just pondering thoughts as we drive, as wherever we go. In your kitchen, you can put stuff up there on your cabinet near your sink or something, or in your bathroom, have a verse on your mirror there that you can be praying to God. And then just ask God to give you verses to pray, to things that you can think about through the day and pray back to Him. Let's pray together. Father, I thank You that You hear our prayers. And God, I thank You that You want us to come to You. Thank You, Father, for Your word. Help us never to neglect it. God, I pray for each lady here that we, all of us, would become women of prayer, that we could take Your word and we could pray it to You, God, knowing that You have said this, "Thus saith the Lord." And God, You have given us Your word, and You cannot lie. We can rest in it, God. We can trust it to be true. And we can rest upon You and the promises that You give. Thank You that we can stand on the promises. God, that we can come to You no matter what. So I pray, Father, that You would be with us now the rest of this day. I pray for the service tonight. God, I pray that You would be lifted up. God, that Your name would be exalted. Father, that we would show forth Your praises to You tonight, that You would be glorified. Father, we just commit all of this time to You. I thank You again for each and every lady that's here. And God, I ask that You would go with them, that You would direct them. Father, that You would give them a heart to seek after You. Oh, Father, our prayer is that we would see Jesus. Father, because that would make all the difference in every situation if we could see Jesus. So thank You, Father, for making Yourself real to us. In Jesus' name, amen.